Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
Father of the groom to celebrate the way that y'all did. It was excellent and it was a joy to see. Just want to honor Morris as a dad. This morning. And also, Lori was thinking about you this morning and how God just sees some faithfulness and sees just sees how you consistently have loved and served and just wants to validate that this morning. Yeah. Good. I like our family. You don't always like your family, but we do like our family here. This morning, want to come with us this morning with a message on this. Identify the lie. Identify the lie. And perhaps there's some lies that we're believing that is hijacking our life in Christ, and that the enemy wants to tell us some lies, and he wants to speak some different identity over us that would shift the outcome, and he would just shift the enjoyment of the journey. And so we need to identify maybe some lies that the enemy is telling us. Anybody like watching the movie The Elf? Maybe it's around Christmas time, you throw that in. Maybe it's in the middle of July, you'll watch that movie. Bonnie's shaking her head. No way, man. Have zero tolerance for that. In this movie, though, Will Ferrell plays the character of Buddy, the elf. He's a 6'4 elf. Imagine that. But he kind of makes this move from the North Pole to America. And during this time, he is at this store. And somebody dressed as Santa Claus is going to have all of the kids sit on his lap. And when this guy comes walking in to be Santa, Buddy's like, "You're not Santa. I know Santa. He's real, and you're like an imposter. You're not the real deal." And so he leans in and he says, "You lie, and you sit on a throne of lies." Anybody remember this scene? And there is one who sits on the throne of lies. And it's more than just a dirty Santa Claus showing up at the store. It is the enemy. Satan sits on a throne of lies, and he wants nothing but to deceive and subvert the plan of God and to distract and to detour. And I'll just tell you, sometimes it's just distraction and it's disillusionment. Is what can destroy destiny just by hijacking what we believe a little bit here. So if you got your Bibles, flip with me to John chapter 8, or I'll have it here on the wall. John chapter 8, starting in verse 43. This is Jesus talking, and they're kind of pressing in on Jesus. How do you know all of these things, Jesus? How do we know that you're true? How do we know that the enemy's not true? We go back and forth. We have a day in which, hey, whatever's true for you is true for you. Whatever's true for me is true for me. Are there any absolutes? Is there one voice that I should listen to above all other voices? And Jesus responds with this. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar, and he is the father of lies. And yet I tell you the truth, and you do not believe me. You see, there's two voices, I believe, that's competing for the belief system of people. There's Jesus and there's Satan, and there really are these two powerful forces in the world today. Whether you believe them or not, they are contending over the hearts and the minds of our people today. The very first time that we're introduced to Satan, it's in the garden. It's in Genesis chapter 3, and we are introduced to him as the deceiver right from the jump. And he comes in and he whispers little lies. And he wants to deceive and supplant. And he wants to tell you who you are and who you're not and steal and hijack the identity of God. And right now, there is a mindset, whether you know it or not, there's an operating system on how you live life. It's why you make the decisions that you make. It's why you maybe have some fear about certain things. It's why you're all in on other things. It's why you're cautious. It's why you don't trust. It's why you do trust. It's all of these things kind of play into the belief system. And somewhere along the line, the enemy has lied to you. And many times, not always, but many times, it comes through skin. It comes through parents. It comes through friends in school. It comes through people who validated you or did not validate you. It comes from words that have been spoken through others that the enemy has taken over the course of time, and he shifted our belief about ourselves and the way that we see God. And probably the first is the way that we see God. Because how we see God is probably how we're going to live our life as it flows from there. Here's some of the lies that Satan wants you to believe. Your past will forever define your future. Your worth is defined by your behavior, or it's defined by your family's last name. You don't deserve nice things. You're too old. You're too young. If you pray for yourself, then you are selfish. I just want to stop right here on this one. How many of y'all know a good father wants to hear the heart of his kids? A good father wants to dialogue about the life that their kids are going through. It's a good father. And sometimes people would say, well, I don't want to pray for myself because I would just come across selfish. And I would say, you need to pray for yourself like crazy, going before your father and saying, God, I just want to talk. I just want to communicate. This is what's going on in my life. I just want to process with you. Man, I want my son and my daughter to process their lives with me all the time. And I'm scared about this, Dad, and I'm super excited about this. Hey, Dad, can you help me with this? And instead of it becoming so stoic and disconnected, like God is just some, you know, illustrious being stuck off in the heavenlies, it's like, no, he's my father, and he's personal, and he's close. And I want to be able to dialogue with him like that. Can we just take an axe to the root of that lie that says you shouldn't be praying for yourself? I've heard it time and time again from the men in our men's ministry that say, I just can't pray for myself. And I'm thinking, you are the men of the house. And man, we need you healthy and strong. And so you need to be taking your heart before the Father every day. But the enemy will say, nope, your heart needs to starve. You need to die and sacrifice and just lay your life down for somebody else. And I say, you know what? The best first step of caring for others is to care for yourself well, to be super healthy so that you can give to others. And so take your heart before the Lord, take your concerns, cast all your cares upon the Lord. Not just everybody else's cares, cast your cares to the Lord because he cares for you. There's just these lies that the enemy will tell us. You're not good enough, you're not valuable enough. Your dad spoke some lies over you so that you can't hack it. You don't have what it takes. You're not tough. Didn't esteem your beauty. I believe that there's a question inside of every man. And the question is this: do I have what it takes? And I believe that there's a question inside of every woman: do you see me? And if those questions have been answered with no, you don't have what it takes, and no, we don't see you, you're not worth enough for us to put our attention followed by our affection upon you. What then happens is we believe and we find our worth based upon what others validate or invalidate. And then we kind of grow up and no longer are we 4, but we're 40 and then we're 80. And we've been following this track of lies along the ways. And so this morning, I want us to identify some lies that we have partnered with. We've put our belief system and we've come into agreement with. I need to live in fear of this. I believe that. I'm not worthy because of this. And so I come into agreement with that. And I partner with that. And then my lifestyle is lived out of that. Right? That's our belief system. It's what happens inside of our minds. There's this book that's really helping me in my mindset. The book is called Mindset. It's by Carol Dweck, Dr. Dweck. And she talks about the power and the differences between a growth mindset and a fixed mindset. These two can come on somebody super early. Sometimes it can just be DNA, but many times it's what's spoken over us, and it's kind of the households in which we've been raised. A fixed mindset is just fixed. Failure is fixed. Who I am is just fixed. My behavior, I'm just always going to be this. Actually, I'm scared of failure. It's not worth trying because I don't want to look bad. I don't want to risk failure. I should be smart. I should be able to accomplish this thing. I should make the team. But I don't want to try out for the team because I might not make the team. And so we kind of have all of these fears and these failures and all this stuff that kind of locks us in. And then we just kind of get fixed for the rest of our lives. Then there's this growth mindset. It says failure is an opportunity to learn. And I'm ready to explore. And man, I welcome feedback. And instead of getting dinged by feedback, it's an opportunity for me to learn and to grow. And a growth mindset says, I know I've got blind spots, so speak into my life. And their eyebrows are on top of their forehead. They're like, I'm ready. I'm excited, right? There's a little bit of a difference. And you know, you might not even know which mindset you're operating with, but you have a mind that has been formed and fashioned in heaven. And we want to get our minds focused and kind of transformed with the renewing of our mind to be able to see God and to be able to think with the mind of Christ and not to be thinking through the lies that the enemy has supplanted into our heads. In the last decade, there's been more study on neuroscience than the last 5 decades combined. But I'll tell you, they're just now catching up to what we have learned in this book from about 4,000 years ago, because the Bible speaks to the mind and how we think and how we operate and what goes on inside of us. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, it says, as a man thinks, so he is. As a man thinks, or what he believes, what goes on in his mind, what goes on in his heart, what happens in his belief system is what he thinks or believes. Just yesterday I was talking with Chris, and Chris shared this story with me that I thought was really enjoyable about Henry Ford. Chris is not quite yet a historian on Henry Ford, but he's pretty close, right? And so I shared a story at men's group yesterday about Henry Ford, and he came back with an even better story, which I appreciate. And so he tells me the story that Henry Ford is they're in one of their plants, and the plant goes down, and he needs power, and he needs, you know, some of the generators go down. And Chris, I found this out, and I'm going to believe this story because there's one little piece that might be a little bit different because it was on the SmithsonianHistory.com. So I'm kind of banking my faith in this research. But it said this, automaker Henry Ford asked an electrical genius, Charles Steinmetz, to build generators for his factory. One day, the generators ground to a halt, and the repairman couldn't fix the problem. So Ford called Steinmetz, who tinkered with the machines for a few hours and then threw on the switch. The generators whirled to life, but Ford got a bill for $10,000 from Steinmetz. Flabbergasted, the rather tight-fisted car maker inquired why the bill was so high. Steinmetz replied, for tinkering with the generators, $10. For knowing how to tinker, $9,990. And Ford paid the bill. You see, there's something about knowing who you are. I know the value that I bring. I know what I have to offer. And I'll tell you, there is a difference between somebody who knows who they are and their value and their worth and someone who doesn't. And there is behavior that follows. I've never written a bill for $10,000 for tinkering, but man, I wish I could sell it just the way that he did. It might have looked like tinkering for you, but trust me, there's been decades of study that's brought me to tinker at just the right place. And Henry, pay up, brother, because I know you've got the money, and I know that it's worth more than you and your factory being shut down for just a little bit. What are the lies that you believe? What are the voices in your head? Like even right now, your dad's voice is in there, your mom's voice, that third grade teacher is in your head. What was it that kind of shifted some things in you? What was it that you brought that piece of art home from second grade that you were so proud of? You were pumped, man. And mom and dad were like, this is terrible. And it dinged something in there. And it hurt. And you're like, you're like, never again. It's not worth it. I'm not going to be an artist. I'm not going to be creative. I'm just going to play it safe. I'm just going to play it safe and be quiet and not put myself out there. I'm going to live in my little silo. I'm just going to my bedroom. I'm going to live in my cubicle. I'm not going to play it safe. I'm just going to follow that whole track for the rest of my life. I'm going to get a safe job. I'm going to take a safe road. I have all of these creative things in me, but nobody believes in it. Let's just keep it quiet. Because when you put yourself out there, you get smacked. It's not worth it. And maybe it wasn't second grade. Maybe you were 20 and you tried that business. Maybe, I don't know what it was, but something shifted inside of you. These gifts that God has put inside of you, the enemy wants to lie to you and say, that's not you. It's not you. Get on back here and you just play it safe. You're not worth it. People don't see you. You don't have what it takes. And we've come into alignment with these things. Sometimes even with our kids, as we'll try to cast some vision to them, we'll say, hey, we need excellence in this area, in this area, in this area. And the response can be, well, I just guess I'm not very good. I guess I don't have what it takes. No. Son, daughter, get back here. We're just trying to call you up to the next level. And if you could just have an encounter with the Father this morning, and he's saying, hey, come on, we're inviting you to the next level. And instead of shutting down, we want to call you up. And to call up those faiths and beliefs and those things that God has placed inside of your heart, let them rekindle again. And to begin to breathe some life on those embers. And what once was this raging inferno, there's just barely any life left on the limbers, on the embers. And the Holy Spirit just wants to blow some fresh life and oxygen into that place again. Anybody like the movie The Lion King? This is my all-time favorite cartoon movie, animation movie. So here's The Lion King, and it's Simba. And he gets told some lies. Uncle Scar shows up. And you all remember, Simba is destined to be the king of the jungle. But the uncle comes in and he hijacks all of that stuff. Stinking crazy uncles all the time. Y'all have that crazy uncle. Or y'all are that crazy uncle. And Scar comes in and he begins to whisper these lies. And he says, Simba, what have you done? What did you do? And your father's dead. And you're responsible. And you're the one why this family's so jacked up. And you're the one why all of this hardship has happened. And you're the one that on and on and on. And he goes from being king to being on the run. And Scar, and he goes, what do I do? And Scar says, run far away and never return. Go as far from your calling and your destiny as you possibly can. Leave the family, ostracize yourself, live in isolation, become an island. That's where it's best for you. Disconnect from life-giving relationships and just go live in the wilderness. And some of you have taken your heart off to the wilderness because it's been so dinged and damaged. And you've believed some lies along the way. And then there's this crazy prophet, ape, named Rafiki, that shows up. And this crazy Rafiki finds Simba. And Simba's just kind of living this cave, sarah, sarah, whatever will be. Good song from the 1950s, right? The Man Who Knew Too Much or something like that. What was it, Kathy? Something like that? Yeah, I do want Hakuna Matata. It means no worries for the rest of your days. But he kind of lives this sort of, it doesn't really matter what goes on in life, right? And there's no really purpose or meaning to all of life. And he's taken on a whole different philosophy. And this philosophy of no meaning couldn't be any farther from the heart of God, where there's massive meaning in everything. And he created you, and there's purpose and there's passion, and he is aching for his little girl's heart to come alive. And he's begging for his son's heart to stand up and to lead his family. He's saying, I don't know, son, where you got off, and I don't know what the example was, why it got hijacked, but come on, man of God. Lead like a warrior and be courageous. Be strong and mighty and courageous. Come on, baby, I want you to come back, and I want you to love these kids and these grandbabies, and I want you to lead with a fiery affection for them and show them an adventure and show them what it means to be fully alive. And come on, let's get that heart healed so we can lead. And Rafiki comes in, And he says, I know who you are. And he goes, Nate, no, nobody knows who I am. And he goes, I know who you are because I know your father. I just got chills. And he says, I still know your father. He goes, oh, my father's dead. And he goes, he's alive. Your father is alive, and he lives within you. Come on, I'll show you where he is. And this new, fresh life comes inside of Simba. He's like, what? Dad's alive? And so he runs through the jungle. He runs through the wilderness. He is hot on Rafiki's trail. He cannot get enough. He's like, man, where's this guy going? This is a crazy cat. I got to find him. And he is hustling. He's pushing through the briars and through the brush, and he's pushing through all the doubt and the unbelief, and he's pushing through all of the haters, and he's pushing because he believes that there's something on the end of this promise. And he comes up to the edge of the water, and Rafiki says, look in there. And so Simba crawls up to the edge, and he looks into the water, and he says, that's not my father. That's my own reflection. I know exactly what I'm looking at. What I see going on, it's unimpressive. There's nothing great going on right here. And then that wild man, Rafiki, he's bald head with a beard, wearing jeans and a sport coat this morning. Rafiki says, no. Look harder. Look harder. And he stirs up the water. And all of a sudden, here's the face of Mufasa. And he sees his father. He has an encounter with his father in this moment. He begins to see who he should be and what he should become. And all of a sudden, he has to negotiate with these lies. And he has to put these lies on a different shelf because they're no longer the roadmap. We've got to shelf these things. And we've got to get refocused and refixed. And when you fix your focus, something, it just becomes a little bit more clear. And Mufasa shows up in the clouds. Y'all remember this? And he begins to have this encounter like Mufasa comes out of the heavenlies. This thing is happening right here. And he sees him. And Mufasa says, Simba, remember who you are. And he's like, Dad, stay. Dad, I want you to stay. Remember who you are. And he starts calling him out and calling him up and initiating his heart to go to the next level. He's saying, come on, son, remember what I've put inside of you. Remember. And so this morning, we just need to come back to this place where we have an encounter with the Father. And I'll tell you, you're going to need two P's in your life. Does anybody know what the two P's are? Nobody. Okay, it's the presence and it's people. And so we got to have an encounter in the presence of the Holy Ghost where we see Jesus in those fiery, affectionate eyes where he looks back upon us and he is the one that identifies us. Not mom, not dad, not the coach, not the teacher, not the boss. It's the Heavenly Father begins to speak identity and he forms and fashions our heart where we see Mufasa and we see that we're destined not just to be kitty cats but to be kings and queens. And all of a sudden a different identity shifts inside the spirit man as he begins to speak over us. We have an encounter in the presence. And the second one is people. You got to have that crazy little prophet guy like show up in your life who's a counselor. Maybe it's a pastor, it's a coach, it's somebody to say, let's go on this journey together to kind of unravel and unpackage the things that's going on inside of your heart so that we can be everything that Christ has called us to be. We want to lay a hold of all of that to which Christ Jesus has laid a hold of us. It really does come down to the presence and to having the right people in your life. With this encounter, Simba has a shift in his mindset. And no longer does he want to just hang out with the warthog and the, what was the other, the groundhog? What was the other one? Guinea pig? He was a monkey. What was he? I don't know. A beer cat? A meerkat. I don't know, Dennis. Been a long weekend, brother. A warthog and a beer cat. You heard it here. But he has this transformation in his mind, and he begins to see himself not just as this kitty cat, but as a king, right? And he sees himself different. Mindset is everything. Mindset shifts the way we see. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and to approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will." When you begin to believe and see things differently, you begin to believe that failure was an event. It's not a person. That was a moment. That's not your identity. You begin to see that hardship was a season, but it's not my attitude. You begin to see that there was some things that maybe came against me. Maybe some other people got a head start in life and I just didn't. That's okay. You're here and you're still slugging it out, and you're going to go and you're going to do what God has called you to do. And you become defined by your father and not by your failure. You say, "God, I want you to speak your identity over me and not my past. The pain of the past does not define my future. But the God of my present is reshifting, and He's fixing my focus to a different day tomorrow. Start seeing, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I am enough. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus." And we start getting on a new identity. These two characters that we see, the Father and other people in our lives, I want us to get incredibly intentional and put a hunger inside of us, saying, "Jesus, there is an ache inside of me that I can't deny anymore, and I've got to see you, and I've got to have you define me." And there's some people, maybe it is a counselor, maybe it's a women's group, maybe it's our men's group, it's a life group, but to where I find my tribe of life givers and life bringers, where people speak life into me. In the same way that we've believed lies from other people's mouths, where we've taken on some identity from other people's thoughts, the enemy has used skin to define us. God wants to also come in and use skin for people to speak some life and to validate and to lift our head, to speak some courage into our spine, to get some vision in our eyes again, and to go on this journey. For Simba, it was one encounter. And then it was probably a wealth of counselors around him while he reigned and ruled. For you this morning, we need to have an encounter. And then we need to go on a journey of having a ton of counselors and voices around us to help get our mindset the way that Jesus would have it. I really want to encourage our men, be here Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock. Be here. Engage in that. This is where we are developing the life and the culture of our men. Our marriages, us as fathers and grandfathers, this is it. Young men, you are going to learn so much about manhood, about how to lead. You're like, "Man, I'm not even married yet." Good. Don't do it after you're 20 years in. Do it before you're in. Get here. Women, Wednesday nights, you need to be here. And it helps focus. Who are we as women? What's going on inside of my heart? What's going on inside of my marriage? Life groups, be there. This is where you find your tribe. This is where you get life spoken into you. We have these arenas set up intentionally for these moments. This morning as we close, I'm just going to hang out here up front. And maybe for some of you, there's some mega pain sitting inside of there. And you're like, "Man, I got some heavy dings from my past that I just cannot get past." And we just want to have an encounter. And just let the Lion King speak some identity into you, right? And have an encounter. And then I'm going to follow that up with an encouragement for you to engage in some of our discipleship groups, right? Perhaps there's some people out there, you're like, "Man, there's no pain from my past, but I just got some fear of the future. Like, I just want to take some risks. I don't know. There's this dream in my heart that I kind of keep pushing down, and I'm just kind of believing some lies that it's not worth it. I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. It's not painful. I'm just scared." It's great. Let's pray and get some Rafikis around you that are smarter than you, that shake their little stick, and I don't know what else they do, but they've got some wisdom and some insight, and they're saying, "Hey, man, I would make some of these moves," or have you ever thought of this? Everything that we need in this family, we have in this family. There's a ton of wisdom sitting in here, and to access the family that we have. So we're going to pray, and when we close, I'm going to be down here. Pastor Andrew, if you would join me, be down here. And we just want to pray for you, pray some faith inside of you, pray some vision inside of you, healing inside, and then be intentional to engage the Rafikis in the family. All right? Would you all stand with me as we close this morning? One of the things that we do in our family, and I wanted to say this, and sorry that I didn't. You're going to have to stand for about 30 more seconds. Was this the power of the Word of God? Have massive intakes of the Word of God. It's what fixes it gets your mindset where it needs to be. I really believe this. I believe that this is the Word of God. This is the breath of heaven. To call yourself a Christian and not to be a student of this thing is the chief of foolishness. It's asinine. Please get your mind, bathe your mind in this thing. Because this is the Word of God. This is what we're banking our whole family on. One of the things that I do in my family is we'll get a book. Judah, you've got a couple books. In the back of the book, I'll open it up and I'll tape money in the back of the book, however old they are. So Judah is 11. So I'll tape $11 in the back of the book. And he cannot get that money until he reads that book. I'm buying the son that I want to have. I'm investing into his mindset. This is a great discipline. I actually learned this from Mark Schultz. He does this with all of his kids. And he'll put money in the back of it. I do it with Ronnie, $8. And then she doesn't read it for a year. She's like, but I'm 9 now. And I'm like, exactly. You could have had $8 a year ago, right? One of the things that we also do is we have a memory verse of the week. And if they memorize the scripture, they get $2 for that week. They want to make money. I love the fact that my kids want to make some money. You're going to make $100 this year if you can just memorize the Bible. And what I'm doing is I'm banking on the Word of God that's going to transform the mind. Judah, we're believing this thing, man. We're believing that the Word of God is going to form and fashion the way that we think, the way that we operate, the way that we lead the mama and the roosters and the sagers. We want to lead them well. Man, Jesus, I'm banking on this being true. I'm all in on this thing being true. I'm investing in my kids to get a mindset like this. And if you need $2 every week, I'll give you $2 every week to memorize the Word of God. I will do it if that's what it needs. If you need some incentivizing, whatever it is, but we've got to go hard after this thing because the enemy has hijacked our family for far too long and our community, and we partner with lies more than we partner with the Word of God. And I'm over it. To hell with the devil. Send him back to where he came from. Send him back to hell. And let's get our minds fixed, renewed in these heavenly minds so we can operate like the lion kings and queens that we are here on the planet. Let's pray. Pastor Andrew and I will be down here in front. Jesus, we just pray right now, Lord, that you would begin to renew our minds. Jesus, we pray right now by the power of the Holy Spirit, do a work. We ask you that we would look harder. We would look farther and deeper into the person of Christ. Jesus, we ask you right now that we would see ourselves the way that you see us. We pray, Jesus, that we would take on the mind of Christ. Jesus, I pray that we'd have the mind of God right now. And the Lion King, would you start doing some movements inside of our hearts? As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Would you begin to heal our hearts? Would you bust us through that wall of fear? Jesus, would you take us into these places of the wild and wonderful unknown and the excitement and the thrill of faith? Jesus, I pray that you would heal our family. You would fix our focus. And you would set us free by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.